Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 5, which is called The Pattern of God's Will. The objectives of this particular lesson are this, that upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verses from memory. You're going to be able to list the basic facts concerning the will of God, identify two major divisions of God's will, use God's written word to make decisions in life situations, explain the pattern of God's will, identify an illustration of believers developing conformity to God's will, and finally, to do further study of the revealed will of God in the written word. Our key verse today is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It says this, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Introduction. Before you examine the methods God uses to speak to man to reveal his will, you must have some basic knowledge about the will of God. And the previous chapters defined what it is meant by the will of God and identified ways of seeking guidance which are wrong. And this chapter presents basic facts about the will of God and explains two major divisions of that will. And it examines the pattern of God's will and discusses the believer's development in knowing the voice of God. Facts about God's will. Here's some basic facts about God's will. First off, God wants you to know his will. Faith that it is possible to know God's voice rests on two foundational facts. First, the belief that God has a plan for you. And second, the ability of God to communicate to you. Now, the following two chapters explain methods by which God communicates with man. As we mentioned in a previous lesson, God wants to communicate to man so much that he actually used a donkey to speak to a prophet on one occasion, and that was in Numbers 22. The Bible commands, according to Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul wrote the Colossians in Colossians 1:9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Acts, Paul spoke to one man and said this, in Acts 22:14, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So in addition to these verses, God has given many promises of guidance in his written word. And you'll study some of these later. On the basis of these scriptures, it can be concluded that God wants you to know his will. God's will is planned. God is working in the world to bring to pass things on the basis of his plan. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of his will, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God has an overall plan for the universe, which he is working out. We will call this his master plan. He also has an individual plan for each person. Those plans fall within the sovereign plan and his moral will. God's plan is individual and personal. God's will for each individual includes his sovereign plan of redemption. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God's plan goes beyond the revelation of his sovereign and moral wills. God has an individual plan for each person which he seeks to communicate. The Bible confirms this by many stories of God at work in the lives of individuals. He's placed men in specific situations at exact times for special purposes, and each of the life stories recorded in the Bible is unique. God told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5 this. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee." What greater witness is there to the personal plan of God for an individual? When the Apostle Paul was overly concerned about that what ministry John was to bear, Jesus said this in John 21:22, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me." So Jesus had different plans for the lives of Peter and John. Everywhere we look in the universe, intelligent planning is apparent. The arrangement of planets, the stars, and individual designs of each snowflake and the flower reflect the planning given this evidence. We must conclude that the divine creator also has an individual plan for man, the highest of his created beings. God promised in Psalms 32:8, he said this, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye." So an individual pathway is indicated in this verse. Psalms 37 states that every step of the righteous man is ordered by the Lord. It says that in Psalms 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The same word used here for ordered is used in Psalms 8:3. In relation to the moon and the stars which God created, the science of astronomy has recorded the amazing precision of the movement of heavenly bodies. The same precision that has scheduled the movement of the planets orders the steps of believers. And he promised this in Isaiah 30:21. It says this, "Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn in the right hand and when ye turn to the left." So God orders not just the big events of life, but each step. God's will is not man's way. God will often moves contrary often to the ways of man. We find that he says in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's will is not always the path that you should naturally select. This is why it's important to recognize the voice of God. But this does not mean that the will of God is something which will bring unhappiness, as the next point reveals. God's will is good. The Bible teaches that God's will is always good, although his way may not be the one you would select. God knows what is best. Psalms 37:23 states this, that you will delight in the way ordered by the Lord. Paul confirms God's will is good. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God's will is progressive. Ephesians 2:10 states that we are his workmanship. The word "are" is the present tense. God is constantly working your life and is continuing progressive progress of revealing his will. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." So Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers what it was God's desire to. He said in Hebrews 13:21, "Make you perfect in every work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." So working is the present tense, and God is continually guiding, developing, and speaking to you regarding his plan. You are promised continual guidance. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually." So there's actually two divisions of God's will. So when speaking of knowing God's voice, we must understand that there are two basic divisions of the will of God, and each division is in harmony with the other. First, we have the revealed, that which is revealed in His written word. The first division of the will of God, of which is specifically revealed in the Bible. In a previous chapter, we discussed the three meanings of the will of God. We learned there's a sovereign, individual, and moral will of God, and these are shown in the following diagram in your book. So we have God's will, then we have God's moral will, and we have God's individual will. So as the diagram shows, the will of God for each individual always falls within His sovereign and moral will as revealed in His written word. The written word of God includes the complete revelation of God's moral will, and this includes all the commandments as to how you should live. As you can see in the diagram, God's sovereign will includes His moral will, and it is His sovereign will that each man and woman within the moral standards of His written word. Now, the written word of God includes portions of His sovereign will, which He has chosen to reveal to us, and includes the general outline of His master plan for the world and for man in general. The best summary of this plan is the key verse for this chapter. And we'll read that again. It says in Ephesians 1, chapter 9 through 11, it says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." So in the further study section of this chapter, we have listed specific references which are examples of God's will as revealed in the written word. Second, that not revealed in His word. The second division of God's will is that which is not revealed in His word, and this includes the individual plan for each believer. God's word does not reveal your specific life, ministry, or occupation, what church you're to attend, who you're to marry, where you're to live, etc. Yet each of these decisions are important, and it is for decisions like these that you must seek God's will and be able to hear His voice when He speaks to you. The two compared. When desiring to know God's will in regards to a certain life situation, first, study the scriptures to see if specific guidance is given in the written word of God. There's no need to seek God's will or ask for confirmation of His will when He's already spoken it in His written word. Examine the scripture carefully for specific guidance already given. Accept the written word of God's voice speaking to you. If you refuse the guidance of God has given in His written word, you open yourself up to deception. In many situations, the Bible provides general principles which, when understood and applied, will lead to a decision consistent with God's will. These principles apply to a variety of specific situations. For example, Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 15, he says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord with Christ with Baal or Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" So here the Bible gives a general principle that believers and unbelievers should not be yoked together. The principle can be applied to many life situations: being married to an unbeliever, going into a business partnership with an unbeliever, making unbelievers your closest friends, etc. So you want to search the scriptures for biological examples which apply to your situation. Study the lives of biblical characters and see which decisions they made in similar situations and if these situations were in harmony with the will of God. In matters where guidance is not given in the written Word of God, the Lord has other methods by which he speaks to man. And we're going to examine these in the following two chapters. But remember, guidance for individual life situations always will agree with the written Word of God. God's voice leads within the limits of the written Word. And now the following chart in your book also summarizes the two divisions of God's will that we just discussed. So we've got the two divisions of God's will. On the left, you have the revealed or the written word. On the right, that which is not revealed. On the left, it says moral and sovereign will revealed in his written word. And on the right, it says the individual plan of each believer. On the left, it says includes his plan will for all mankind and his master plan for the world. And not revealed includes the specific division such as life, work, ministry, residence, education, marriage, guidance, in other specific situations. On the left, it includes specific commandments and promises to govern living and includes general principles upon which specific decisions can be based. On the right, it says some individual decisions can be made upon the basis of general principles, examples, and specific commands revealed in God's Word. The pattern of God's will. In the first chapter of this course, we focused on Romans 12:1 through 2. Which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So we ask the question, what is meant by the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? We will now deal with that question, and in doing so, discover the pattern of God's will. First off, we have the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is accomplished when a believer is in harmony with the moral, sovereign, and individual wills of God for his life. The believer has accepted the sovereign plan of God for his salvation through the new birth experience. He is in harmony with the moral commandments of God's written word. He also has determined God's specific guidance for his individual life plan. Next, we have the good will of God. In the good will of God, the believer is not in the perfect plan for his life, but he is within God's sovereign will and moral will. He is not disobedient to God's revealed will. He is still seeking to find the perfect individual plan for his life. Then we have the acceptable will of God. The believer is missing the perfect will of God for his life, but is still in an acceptable area. He is living in the permissive will of God. He may not be concerned about God's perfect will for his life. And God is permitting him to live in this area, although it is not God's perfect will for him. And then lastly, we have outside the will of God. The believer is in the realm of direct disobedience to God's revealed will. So we have an example of that in Scripture. The story of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 illustrates these realms of God's will. You read the story before you continue this lesson. Some men from Moab asked a prophet of God named Balaam to go into the prophesy against God's people, Israel. And God spoke to Balaam and told him not to go. And it says in Numbers 22:12, and God sent unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. It was the perfect will of God for Balaam not to do as the men of Moab had wanted him to do. But Balaam disobeyed God's voice and went with the men. And when he did, he was functioning in disobedience outside the revealed will of God. God desired so much for Balaam to know his will that he used a donkey to speak to him and convict him of his sin. And after this, God permitted Balaam to continue on with the men to Moab with orders that he was to bless rather than curse the Israelites. Balaam was now functioning in the permissive will of God. The journey resulted in a series of trying encounters with a man named Balak. These could have been avoided if Balaam had obeyed the voice of God and never gone in the first place. Now, if you want to compare this story to the diagram in the pattern of God's will, the perfect will of God was that Balaam not go to the men of Moab. Balaam disobeyed and moved outside the will of God. He was not in the good will of God, where the believer is missing the perfect will by seeking it. He was in complete disobedience to the voice of God. The acceptable or permissive will of God permitted Balaam to continue on a journey, even though it was not God's perfect will for him. Walking in the will. Following the born-again experience and motivated by the love of God, the goal of the believer is to walk in harmony with the will of God. Often the pattern of a believer's conformity to God's will is through thought out in the terms of the following diagram. So we have the diagram, and it shows us going one direction, then down, and we have the new life experiences going straight ahead. So God's will is represented in this diagram by a straight, unbroken line. The walk of man in relation to that will be represented by arrows. So before the born-again experience, the man walks in his own way, which is exactly opposite of the will of God. After the new birth experience, a believer often anticipates walking in complete harmony with God's will. Since he's a new creation in Christ, he expects to be able to conform exactly to God's will. But in reality, daily life, his pattern of conformity looks more like this. So we have the other example. He kind of goes up and then down. Instead of exact conformity to God's will, the believer has an up and down experience. Sometimes he hears God's voice and does his will. Other times he does not. He becomes greatly discouraged when he makes mistakes and misses God's will. Some even give up their quest to hear God's voice. But look at this diagram again. We are missing something important. While it is true that sometimes the believer misses God's will, note that the overall direction of the dotted line representing his line walk is upward. Although he may fall short of the will of God at times, the overall pattern is one of progress. So the dotted line shows how he strays from the will of God, realizes it, learns from the experience, and comes back into conformity of God's plan. Through failure as well as success, the believer is learning to hear God's voice. Through both positive and negative experiences, he is continuing his growth and understanding the principles of God-directed life. When the will of God is perceived in this manner, it becomes a liberating relationship with him in which you are privileged to live. The will of God ceases to become just restrictions or commandments. It becomes a challenge of learning to align yourself with his plan. A biblical example. You might consider the example of King David during his life as a diagram of his conformity to the will of God. What might have looked like this. So as you look at that in your book, you'll see that it goes straight, it goes up, and then it goes down. When David first became king, he walked in conformity to the will of God. God even called David a man after his own heart. But when David sinned and with other man's wife, who gave birth to an illegitimate child, this was in direct disobedience to God's written word. David came before the Lord in repentance, was forgiven, and came back in line with God's will. As we examine the ways of God speaks to men in the next two chapters, keep diagram 2 in mind. It is the overall pattern of the conformity to God's will that is important. Through every experience of learning to know God's voice, both positive and negative, you can continue to advance in your ability to discern God's perfect will, and you can continue to strive to conformity despite occasional failures. So don't give up. That's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.